debt. You got to go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. And don't forget insane inflation. That keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with debt is your lifeline. Done with debt has an ingenious new strategy to help you erase your debt faster and easier than you ever thought was possible. Done with debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce your bills. They know how to get interest rates cut. Their skilled staff of negotiators know how to get the debt out of your life permanently, without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with debt are the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. So here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Again, donewithdebt.com. Breaking news, Manscaped now sells beard products. That's right. They're once again revolutionizing men's grooming with the brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Trust me, I think I need one. From a beard trim to a fresh shave, the technology behind the Beard Hedger Pro Kit allows you to shape your signature beard look. Now you can finally use Manscaped's products to make your drapes match your carpet by going to manscaped.com and using Bubba as your promo code for 20% off and free shipping. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit is waterproof, so you can shave in the shower to avoid all the hair in the sink. The titanium-coated T-blade is tough on hair but smooth on your face, leading to single-stroke efficiency that brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. Don't forget about the beard shampoo and conditioner. You need to remember that your beard hair is different. It's more coarse. It's easier to damage than the hair on your head. Cap the kit off with some beard balm. The Pro Beard Kit comes with three free gifts, plus a beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with promo code Bubba at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Just use promo code Bubba. Manscaped Beard Hedger. One stroke, one guard, 20 lengths.
Spice Lee on the phone?
Yes, he is. Lee Weaver, celebrity bodyguard extraordinaire.
I think that he's got a new book out. I'll get to that first because I want to get to the juicy stuff as well, but I don't want to think that we're using him. I want him to be able to talk about his new book. Is his book out now or is it coming?
I will check with him, but I think the title was Memoirs of a Celebrity Bodyguard. I don't know where he stands on it.
And I think that, does he got a website?
Yeah, I think it's Lee. I think it's just leeweaver.com. Yeah.
Lee, it's Bubba. How are you today, buddy?
Good, sir. How you doing?
Good, buddy. Now, first of all, do you have a website as we're going to be talking to you today? People can maybe go check you out a little bit.
Yes, LeeTWeaver.com.
So not
LeeTWeaver.
Yeah, you got to put the T in there. It's important.
That's right. That's right.
Is that your middle name?
Yes.
What is your middle name? Todd Thayer?
No. It's Lee Ty Weaver. I had to put the T in there.
Right. Because there's a lot of regular Lee Weavers running around here trying to be you, my friend.
Trying to be me. So, you can't be me. Now, you can't imitate me. You got to be me, 100% me.
6'4", 294. Bench press is 425 pounds. Squats, 450. Celebrity bodyguard of a lot of people. Now, do you have a new book out right now, Lee?
Yes. It's called Memoirs of a Celebrity Bodyguard. And it's not out there to dish nobody. It just tells my story, my 20-year history of Hollywood.
How long has it been out? How long has that book been out, Lee?
It's just now coming out.
Is it available?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so it's available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, those kinds of places?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
So now, Lee, when you were first growing up, you know, out there in L.A., and think, who was the very first person that you kind of, of name value, that you started a bodyguard?
The first person was Eddie Murphy.
Oh man, I hope you got some good stories about Eddie Murphy, because I grew up loving Eddie Murphy.
I did like 5 years with Eddie Murphy, living with him in his house. How I met Eddie Murphy was in a nightclub, celebrity nightclub, and I didn't know. I was just walking down the street in Hollywood Boulevard. This Italian guy asked me, "Hey, you want to be you want to work in my nightclub?" And little did I know, it was a celebrity nightclub. Like, I was into that club maybe like a week, and all kind of people was coming there, like Eddie Murphy, Mike Tyson, Michael Jackson, people like that. And how I met Eddie was, he got into a fight later on that night in the nightclub. He was dancing with some guy's girl.
Imagine that.
And the guy wanted he wanted his girl. He told Eddie to start dancing. Eddie just said, "Hey, I'm dancing. I'm just dancing." And the guy said, "No, this is my girl." And all of a sudden, a punch was thrown, and Eddie got punched, and Eddie went to the floor. Next thing I know, the guy was on top of Eddie. And as he was getting ready to hit Eddie again, I pulled the guy off of Eddie. Eddie looked me eye to eye. He said, "Whoa, you want a real job?"
So just like that. Now, of course, you know, you working with him that long, you know, Eddie's one of those guys. There's so many rumors about it. And obviously the gay rumor is the big one when it comes to Eddie Murphy. You know, there's rumors about him and Arsenio. And if you're on Eddie for that many years, can you confirm or deny these allegations of him being gay?
Well, you know what I mean? I never really seen it. But, yeah, I mean, of course, there was things going around that confirmed certain things.
Like what? Spending the night in his room or something?
Yeah, you know what I mean? I've seen certain things, but like I said, I never seen no man-to-man in bed. Nothing like that.
Well, what was the thing that you saw that you kind of go, well, that's not right?
Right, like I said, I might have seen, I could have seen like some transvestites in the house, something like that, but I never connected people with people.
So you may have seen some transvestite rolling around the house, but you didn't see no like one-on-one. You didn't see any sex acts, but you just saw a lot of stuff around the house.
Exactly. Like, hey, excuse me, miss, and then you hear the voice so deep. Oh, excuse me, you're not a miss.
How many transvestites would you say were running around his crib?
I don't know, like, because you know they used to have some wild, crazy party where everybody was there, you know what I mean? From he, she, you know, I'm like, whoa, you know what I mean? When I first got there, I was like, okay. Didn't really, you know, question nothing. Just did the bodyguard and just protect it. That was it.
I mean,
I really didn't ask no questions.
Ned, if you were as popular as Eddie Murphy was or is and had that kind of money, wouldn't you have transvestites rolling around your party as well?
Who doesn't have transvestites?
Well, because
because
you don't know who's who until they get there.
Exactly.
Because we'll go to a nightclub and just pick up people. And by the time we get to the house, you don't know who's who, especially in Hollywood.
Now you did some bodyguarding for Arsenio Hall, too. And a lot of times, as Spice was talking about, they had those two kind of
linked up.
Anything about that?
Well, you know, I mean, like I said, you know, they used to hang as friends. But, like, I never really, like, witnessed anything with them. Like, I never walked into a room and Arsenio said, "Eddie, hand me the towel."
would there be any situations like when you started working for Eddie Murphy, would he tell you, "Look, man, I trust you. I hope you don't, you know, screw me over and tell anybody my secrets, my stories." Or did you sign a confidentiality form, or how did that work?
No, I never signed nothing like that. He never told me nothing like that either, because Eddie was the type of person, like, he just did things. He didn't, you know, I guess he didn't really care who was around him. He just, you know, did his own thing. He didn't care.
Was there anybody that you ever worked with that said, you know, they may have done something or and then they said, you know, "Hey, you didn't see that," or, you know, was there ever any of that?
No, there was nothing like that. And like I said, I was around a lot of people that did whatever they wanted to do, and they didn't care who was around them, you know. And I was kind of shocked. Some of the positions I was in, you know what I mean? The conversations I heard.
What was the most, you know, shocked you ever were? With whom and why?
Well, the conversation with Eddie and Michael Jackson, when they used to talk about certain things.
Yeah, Michael, I'll tell you something.
I can only imagine that conversation.
Yeah, let's get into that.
I'm like, whoa, you know what I mean? They used to be, sometimes they were talking about like the gift giver. This was a person like that. Michael Jackson used to always say, like, the gift giver was a person that gives you all the gifts, and that's how you become a superstar. And the only way you can reach the gift giver is go into a deep, deep sleep. The deeper the sleep you go into, the closer you could get to him. And they saw, and I used to be sitting there listening, and Michael used to always say, he has to go into a deep sleep.
That was so that he
did. If he didn't. Prince was, Michael always said the only person that could outperform him on this planet was Prince. And they used to always talk about the gift giver was giving Prince all the gifts, because Prince could do everything on stage, dance, sing, and everything.
Michael used to put people into a deep, deep sleep with, you know, the propofol so that he could, like, you know, have sex with them. That's the gift. I mean, so my...
Exactly, but, you know, I mean, there was, he was serious about this. That's why Michael Jackson used to go into a deep, deep sleep, because it started all the way back from Elvis Presley. Eddie had books on this. Eddie Murphy had books on this, how you reach the gift giver. And they really talked about this. And I was seriously, I used to sit around and listen at them on how to reach the gift giver. And they were
serious.
Are
you kidding me? I mean, they make that much money and are that weird that they have to spice, you know, the bottom line is they're just trying to justify why they're getting so drugged up and going to sleep.
Well, I mean, when it comes to the gift giver,
deeper.
Did they ever mention, like, were they talking about Jesus, or did they talk about a figure, or what was this? What did the gift giver look like?
I'm telling you, I used to sit there, I'd be pinching myself. I thought, damn, am I dreaming? Are they actually talking about this? I mean, Eddie and Michael used to always talk about, Eddie, how do you reach the gift giver? And he used to say certain things, look to a mirror, hold a candle with one hand, and they used to say certain things. And they were serious about this.
Oh, wow.
You know, I was like, well, what the hell, you know? And I really thought I was dreaming. I had to pinch myself. Because if you, once you reach the gift giver, if you really see him, there's no return. So that's why, you know, Michael, he reached him. And you get all the gifts you could imagine.
Michael was looking for little boys. Michael was looking for the gifts of you know, he got the Webster kid and he got the Macaulay Culkin. So he got what he was looking for.
He got all the gifts.
Oh no, he got more now. Could you see he's getting all kind of stuff now?
Yeah,
because he's gone.
By the way,
once you see him, you can't come back.
Lee Weaver on the phone. You can go to Lee Weaver's website if you like, leetweaver.com. He's got a new book out about bodyguarding all types of famous people. Let's go to Pam Anderson. Give me some Pam Anderson stuff.
Oh, she was cool, and she was so funny. She was, you know what I mean, one of the sexiest ladies out here in Hollywood, and still is. You know, it was funny. You know what I mean? I worked with her during this VIP era. I remember at the end of the days, you know what I mean, she'd be in her dressing room and ready to go home. She'd just pull her clothes off right in front of everybody. Didn't care. I mean, and then put on her other clothes. And she'd get in the car, and I used to go back inside, make sure she didn't leave nothing. I remember this old guy, he used to always be there to clean up the thing. He used to always say, hey, buddy, I'll give you $100 for those panties. I said, what?
Man, I would have been selling them panties.
Yeah. I'm like, whoa. Okay.
Any guys coming in and out of there?
Oh, yes. I mean, no, not really. She wasn't the type that messed around. Just she had one boyfriend. That's when she was on and off. And then she had this blonde model from Europe that she used to see. Yeah, she wasn't like, you know, a bunch of guys all at once. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure they would have loved that. But she was like one boyfriend at a time, I guess, after Tommy.
I mean,
not too many people could stand up next to Tommy after Tommy.
Not even a kick ass brother like yourself might not even measure up to Tommy.
You have to, you know, tie a couple of inner tubes to your side before you go in there.
Tommy makes us white guys proud. That's our boy right there, because there ain't a lot of us rolling around with Tommy what Tommy's got.
Yeah, because all the brothers, we thought Tommy was one of us. You know what I mean? That Tom said he can't be no white boy.
Spice, you got something for Lee?
Well, I was going to say, you know, it seems like if you're pretty good with your craft and you're good with your money, you can make some pretty lucrative dough being a bodyguard. What would you get paid?
Yeah.
Oh, it depends on who you with, too, what celebrity.
Let's say Eddie.
From $3,000 to $6,000 a week.
Now, like, who was the best payer? Let's talk about who, you know, who paid you the best and who, you know, was the worst.
I would say Eddie Murphy. Wesley Snipes. Michael Jackson was good, but I never worked for him. I used to talk to his bodyguards.
Now, what kind of stories were Michael Jackson's bodyguards coming up with? I can only imagine. I can only imagine the stuff that they were seeing.
Yeah, they got some weird, freaky stories. Like, the first time I ever met Michael Jackson was strange. Oh, my God. You know what I mean? Him and Eddie, I remember first time I ever met him, him and Eddie is talking. And before we get into the room, and Michael Jackson said, okay, now, when you see Bubbles, don't look him to the eyes, because Bubbles like a little pit bull. He gets mean, and he don't like nobody to talk to Michael Jackson.
Don't look at Bubbles, because he's very territorial.
And then so I'm in the room, and Eddie and Michael is talking. I'm sitting down with me and another bodyguard, and you see something coming from out of the side of the room. And you're going to look, because I look, and I'm thinking like, oh,
wow,
that's Wester. And I look, and it's Bubbles. I'm like, oh, because you got to look, because the way he's dressed, he got a T-shirt on.
Now, can you imagine if Eddie
Murphy... jeans.
Can you imagine? Now, listen.
And he has a T-shirt, and the T-shirt was rolled up like a little boy. So I'm thinking, oh,
wow.
Why is Wester dressed like that? I'm looking, oh, so, oh,
wow,
that's not Wester. I mean, and he catches my eyes, and he comes straight towards me like a little pit bull.
What, the little monkey? The little monkey starts coming at you.
Bubbles,
what,
yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And I remember Michael said, don't look him in the eyes, because he don't like nobody talking to Michael Jackson, because he's that protected.
Rip your
so
face
I'm trying out. To, like, I'm trying, I said, do I laugh or do I get scared? And I'm thinking, I'm 6'4", Special Forces, 300 pounds. He can't talk to me. I just pluck him in the head and tell him to get the hell out of here. I mean, but by that time, now he's like within like feet from me, and with a wind, he's like, I can feel his breathing like real heavy. And Michael didn't say nothing. He's still talking to Eddie Murphy. And I look again. Now I catch him. He's like right in my face, breathing real hard. And I'm like, oh,
wow,
he's not playing. I'm talking about, I'm thinking, I'm looking straight in the eyes of
Lee.
No,
sorry,
he
sorry,
shows
sorry,
me
sorry,
his
sorry.
Teeth.
Sorry, sorry.
I'm like, oh, wow, this is getting really freaky now.
Now
and he picks up his hand and drops it on my leg. I'm like, oh,
wow,
that was the hardest Charlie horse I ever felt. And I'm like, I'm thinking Michael Jackson's going to get up and say, get out of here, Bubbles.
Oh, wow.
And him and, I mean, him and Mike, him and Eddie and Michael still talking about the other
shit. Wow.
Hey, Lee, hold on a second. I gotta tell you something, Lee.
You gotta watch the S word.
You can't cuss.
Oh, I'm sorry, bro. You can't cuss. I'm sorry, but you know what I mean?
We've got to
your public out there.
No, it's all right.
It's all right. We gotta keep it real a little bit here.
I've been dumb, but it's okay. But that's how much he's in the moment.
He really is in the moment. You know, I mean, I can only imagine how many S words your book has.
But I can only imagine this, man. If you can imagine how funny Eddie Murphy is on screen, can you imagine when Bubbles is attacking his 6'4" bodyguard? Can you imagine what Eddie Murphy is saying?
And Bubbles is wearing a real modern day outfit, like a child,
with a wife beater T-shirt,
sleeves rolled up.
Now, that's what threw me. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, like, because those are the days where Michael used to walk around carrying Wester. So that's why I thought it was Wester.
Carrying Wester.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what really threw me.
Now,
and then I'll tell you one more second. So I'm sitting there, I'm trying to be tough. I said,
wow,
he can't hurt me, but you know me. So, and when I look again, he's closer to me, and he's growling now, showing me his teeth. Oh, man, this is getting serious. So he raises up his hand again and drops it on my leg again. And I'm like, oh, and it felt like he broke it that time. And I'm like, I'm waiting for Michael to say, yo, Bubbles, get out of here. He didn't say nothing. Yeah. I'm like, yo, this is getting too serious now. I'm talking about now I can feel his breath. He's right, like, he's about to get ready to kiss me. That's how close he is. I'm like, yo. And now I'm looking. I'm sweat coming off me. And I want to cry, but I can't cry. So many people in the room. I'm like, yo. I'm thinking Michael and Eddie is playing a game on me or something, because Eddie likes to play. He's a practical joker. So now I'm reaching in my pocket because I had a little short 38. You know, nobody's not supposed to have no guns, but.
So you were almost going to shoot Bubbles.
Yeah, shoot Bubba, take that bitch down.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? I'm going to Michael Jackson's house. Before I went there, a lot of people said there's a lot of freaky things going around there. And, you know, be careful now, because Michael has a lot of wild animals just walking around like they pets. And, you know, lion, tigers, elephant. You know, I'm not used to that. When I see stuff like that, they're in cages. I mean, and I like, you know, so I'm getting ready to put my hand in my pocket, and all of a sudden, Michael jumps up and grabs Bubbles, get out of here. He said, oh, Lee, I'm sorry. He's usually not like that when the trainer's here. You're okay.
Oh, Lee.
And Michael grabs and walks him out of the room, and Eddie, he just yells and starts laughing and falls to the floor. Eddie, what's wrong? He said, I'm laughing at what's getting ready to happen next. I said, what's getting ready to happen? He said, can you imagine if you would have shot Bubbles?
Oh, man. You'd be famous.
He said, I wasn't going to shoot him. I was just going to get him up off of me. You know? So, and Eddie said to her, shot Bubbles. It would have read like, Eddie Murphy, bodyguard, kills Bubbles. I said.
Man, we just need to get Lee to just do story time with Lee because he's the best story timer ever, man. Lee tells
it. But it's funny now, but it wasn't funny then. You know what I mean? I feel like he broke my leg because people underestimate the chimpanzee.
Oh, man.
They say, he will rip your face off.
So that little ass chimpanzee would have whipped your ass, wouldn't he?
Well, we would have went toe-to-toe. That's what I got to say. I mean, probably would have came out of the room all beat up, but he would have known he'd been in a fight.
Bottom line. I'm going to tell you right now, man.
Toe-to-toe with Bubbles.
That little Bubbles almost had you pulling out your weapon, kid.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I underestimated him. I mean, he got me at, I thought it was Webster. That's the only thing. I mean,
like, man,
I said, why he got Webster dressed like that?
Lee Weaver.
That's not Webster. Why would Webster have suspenders on in a t-shirt?
Lee Weaver, celebrity.
That's all I kept saying was, it's got to be a crazy dream. Telling you, if you ever go to Michael Jackson's house, you better not be drunk or you better not be high because you're going to get into the worst experience you ever had because he got some freaky things going through that house. Ooh, and I'm not saying this to make you laugh. I'm telling you this from my experience.
Lee Weaver.
You better not do no acid. You better not drink no liquor. You better not smoke no weed. You better go in there straight.
Because Michael Jackson, back when he was alive, that bitch had chimpanzees dressed up like Webster. Did you see any hot bitches around there or no?
That's one thing that got me, because he had the most amazing house. I never seen nobody walking through there that, like, said, ooh, look at this girl.
No, you just saw monkeys.
I mean, when you walk in there, you see nothing but rides. And all the rides are going, the popcorn machine is popping, and there's a man saying, all right, stand in line, boys and girls. If you cut the line, you're going to have to get in the back. And you're looking around saying, who the hell are you talking to? There's nobody around, but you hear this announcer saying, stand in line, boys and girls. If you cut the line one more time, you got to get in the back.
And there's nobody
there. You're turning around, there's nobody around. What the hell? And you think you're in the Twilight Zone, or you're in Disneyland with all the rides going, but there's no kids.
There's nothing.
And everybody is standing around like, yo, where the hell are we?
Oh, you better be.
And here come Michael Jackson from the Round of Ferris World. How you guys doing? And scared the shit out of everybody. and Eddie said, hey, Michael, you better cut that shit out. And Michael said, oh, Eddie, cut it out. I was standing right here. And this was freaky. Michael said, I'm Peter Pan. I could be anywhere I want. Eddie said, if you're Peter Pan, fly across the damn room. And Michael said, oh, Eddie, I'm not going to do that. And Eddie said, why? He said, if I do that, you're going to tell everybody. And I was like, what the hell? And what was so freaky, he had on clothes that looked just like Peter Pan. He had a little wand. He was waving around. I'm like, yo, this is too freaky for me. And I'm walking. I'm like, whoa, man. And Eddie said, Lee, if Michael get too freaky, keep that limo running. We out of here. I'm like, yo, whoa. I'm telling you, that's my first experience at Michael Jackson's house.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not telling you this to make you laugh. That's my experience.
I mean, can you imagine you've been on some weed or some liquor or something like that?
Wow, I think, how have I been living like this? Kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. You're thinking, wow, how have I been affording getting gouged so bad? It's time to make the switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. And I mean, Mint Mobile's quality of wireless service is unbelievable. Say bye-bye to the overpriced wireless plan, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages where they slow you down and completely screw with you. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you. With premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month, all plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts. Ditched overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited plan deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. Get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for only $15 a month. Go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower than 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fee, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Exactly. That's why I recommend it. Don't smoke nothing. Don't drink nothing.
No.
You know what I mean? You're going to Michael House.
No. Let's get into Mel Gibson.
I apologize. I'm trying to be serious.
No,
here.
Man. It's all good. But, I mean, nobody can tell us. Nobody can explain stuff better than you. You're great. You missed your calling.
I'm sorry, but hey, I'm just going on memory right now.
Now, tell me about Mel Gibson. You know, obviously, Mel is going through some tough times right now. And
oh, that's Melly Mel. That's my man.
I mean, man, Mel says it like it is, man. Is he always this mad? I mean, is he always this?
When I first heard that, those tapes, I had to listen to that. I kept playing it right back over and over and over. Because Mel, I got pictures of me and Mel Gibson wrestling on the ground. Mel Gibson, he took me to his house. I had to play with his kids. You know, his wife is one of the most loveliest people you want to be around.
Not his new one, man.
You talking about his new one or his old one?
Not his new one.
Man. No, he was never married to this one.
Okay, right. So you're talking about the
other one. That was just some girl that's trying to make it in Hollywood. That's why when Mel got together with her, everybody in Hollywood was kind of shocked. I said, oh, what? What, Mel drinking some cuckoo juice? Like, woo, you know?
No, I mean, like, did you ever see any... I mean, any signs of any of this type of behavior with him?
Never. That's what shocked me. You know what I mean? I'm talking about I ate with Mel, sat, broke bread with Mel, played with him. I tell you, I got pictures of me and Mel Gibson wrestling. And that's what shocked me, you know? I'll send you, I'll email you the pictures, you know?
Are you guys wrestling?
Through me.
Yeah, I mean,
but he was also dropping the N-bomb, and did you see all that?
He's a practical joker. he wasn't no practical joker that much, you know what I mean? Because I was way bigger than him. He never, you know, called me, hey, you big black, hey, all right, Mel. All right. I would have checked his ass.
Lee Weaver on the phone today. Lee's got a brand new book. What's the book called, Lee? I'm sorry.
It just tells my life history, my 20 years experience in Hollywood. I just label it Memoirs of a Celebrity Bodyguard. And I mean, it just gives the insight, the dark side of Hollywood, the good side of Hollywood, because everybody thinks it's a good side. It's a good side, and then there's a dark side, too.
What's the darkest side of Hollywood, you know, that may be in your book or may not be in your book that you saw that, you know, that you're, besides Bubble, the attacking chimpanzee, what was the dark side of Hollywood?
Oh, there's dark sides where I used to have to stick guns in people's mouths to get us out of dangerous situations.
Really? Like, give me an example.
It's pretty dark.
I mean, you know, I mean, where that is so dangerous and scary is you don't know that's happening because you get up out of the house and you don't know the situation going to happen until you're right there, and that used to piss me off because like something like with a Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, let's talk about.
We'll be running the streets, and she'll get in a situation. She'll get me in a situation. Sometimes be me and her there, or we'll be like somewhere in Beverly Hills, and somebody must have ripped her off or something. And next thing I know, she's beating a speech, slapping a guy. Boom, boom, boom. I'm talking about a guy like three times her size. And she's smacking him. This guy paid for it. Boom, boom. And I'm looking at him, oh, Lindsay. And I'm running over there. And by the time I get there, he already have a gun out. You know what I mean? But he's not going to shoot Lindsay, but he's ready to, like, this is way me. And I'm getting there, and by the time I get there, the barrel is hitting me right in the middle of the chest. And he said, and now he's screaming at her, how dare you come up here, and you're going to bring this big old black guy here to try to rob me? And now all I'm thinking, he had his finger on the trigger. I'm like, oh. Now all I see was my life flashing between my eyes, you know, because all he had to do was pull the trigger. He could have got away with it. Because we're in Beverly Hills, big old expensive white area. I'm like, I could have sworn I hit him off the arm and stuff, but I was trying to hold my composure every day.
On that particular issue, when you're talking about, you know, going up in a place in Beverly Hills, you got a guy, and she's thinking that she got ripped off. I mean, am I insinuating that might have been a cocaine deal or something?
Well, I don't know, because sometimes she'll pull me in on the last, you know, when it went ugly, but she'd never tell me what happened, and because I always talk out of it, I said, oh, well, whatever, you got ripped off, you shouldn't have been there, because I used to always try to talk her out of certain things.
But I mean, you know, I mean, she's obviously buying something that she probably,
exactly.
I mean, she's probably doing a cocaine deal or something like that.
Whatever. She was doing something that she's not supposed to do, and it went sour, and she came and got me.
And how many of those sour deals were you a part of?
Oh, plenty of them. Like I said, like, it was, like, and that was that time, it went so close where I really thought I was going to die that time. And what happened was he had it, and she was still getting ready to slap him, and then he was concentrating on me. And then what exactly happened was, like, 4 in the morning, and something moved in the bushes. I don't know if it was a cat, dog, or whatever, and it moved, and he turned his head. And I hit him so hard in his neck, it seemed like I broke his neck. He fell to the ground. And the gun went down, and she like, oh,
wow.
You killed him. And I just grabbed it to get your little ass in the car. She jumped in the car. He had his hand in one of the pockets, and I reached in there to see what he had, because I wanted to see what was going on. And I didn't see nothing in his pocket. And I put her in the car, and me and her was arguing. I was doing all the arguing. I was talking. I was screaming, you know, how dare you put me in a situation where this dude getting ready to kill me? And I was just driving 100 miles an hour just to get out of the area. I was all on the sidewalk. I'm sure people was coming out and say, damn, is that the gardener this early? I was all, that was true. And I got to where she was going, kicked the door and said, get out, don't ever call me again. That's how angry I was.
Now, it's just, you know, Lee T. Weaver, bodyguard of the Stars, you know, you said that you were kind of worried about Lindsay Lohan because her lifestyle and her party and everything like that. Are you still worried about her, even though she did you like
oh,
that?
Oh, yes. When she was crying, this one really got me. When she was crying, when the judge sentenced her and she was crying on television, I was really upset. That really got me because when I seen her crying on national TV, because we was kind of close. I was like almost big brother. She was little sister. I mean, you know what I mean? And when she started crying, that really got me like a little sister.
Yeah, but she says that you stole from her.
I mean, she's made a lot of bad allegations towards you.
But, you know what I mean? When she said that, because she was angry a lot because there were certain things I didn't do because there was a couple of times when she got caught with certain things and she wanted me to hold certain things. I said, no, I quit. I ain't doing it. And that's when she, you know, said those things. She was upset because so I wouldn't hold certain things or hide certain things. I said, no, I'm not here for that.
So the bottom line is she wanted you to hold a cocaine and hold the things like that, and you knew that, you know, if you'd hold
exactly.
something like that, next thing you know, the cops roll up and they're gonna throw you know, get the black guy, not the stupid ass white bitch.
Exactly. Now, I mean, they always say, oh, we get you out of jail. I said,
oh, wow.
You ain't getting me out because I'm not going to jail for this.
Now, Lee T. Weaver on the phone, by the way, and how many times were you in that situation where she wanted you to hold some, you know, cuff some cocaine?
Plenty of times. There's times where before I hook up with her at night, I say, hey, do you have anything on you? She said, what? I say, any drugs? Any weapons? Do you have anything on you before you get in this car? There were some nights I said, no, I'm not getting in your car tonight. You get in my car. And I know there was nothing in my car, then I felt safe for the night.
Why now, Lee, why do you think that she has such a substance problem? Why do you think,
I think that goes way back. You know what I mean? When she was a little girl, she used to have to stand up and fight for her mother. When, you know what I mean? She used to tell me she's tired of seeing her father fight her mother. And she grew up when she was 10 years old. She was the breadwinner, everything. And the father used to do all kind of weird things. He'd come home all, you know, drunk or whatever and want to fight the mother. And she was tired of that. And so she used to stand right up and fight him toe-to-toe like she was a man. She used to tell me this and used to hurt her when she see her father beat up her mother. She got tired of it, and she used to jump on the father like she was the man of the house.
Now, Michael Lohan listens to the show, and so he might even be listening right now. What would you say to him if you had an opportunity?
See, I'm not here to judge Michael. I can't judge nobody about their past. He did what he did in his past, and he has his own reason why he did that. So I'm not saying he's no bad guy, because we all have a dark side. I mean, so he did what he did in his past. I'm pretty sure he's trying to make up for whatever he did in the past.
When do you think Lohan's going to overdose and die? Well, what's your bet on that?
Who, Lindsay?
Yeah. I'm guessing a year. What's the over-under on that?
Yeah, I mean, because when I was with her, I was deep down inside, I really tried to help her because I used to be with Wesley Snipes and Robert Downey Jr. and all of them, and I kind of slowed them up when it comes to certain things. And that's how I ended up with Lindsay. And, you know what I mean? And I did slow her up a little bit. I did. It was just the people, other people around her used to bring her certain things. I almost broke this guy's arm one day when he was giving her something. And I said, yo, well, what's that? You know what I mean? I'm twisting his arm. I almost broke because, you know, I used to try to scare people away. And they said, you know, and they still got around me somehow to get her certain things. Because Lindsay, you ain't doing none of that. Okay.
What was her certain thing? What was her certain thing of choice that she liked the most? Cocaine?
Well, I couldn't say it was cocaine because I never really seen her doing it. But it was always around us. For some reason, if I go somewhere and come back, I used to see lions on the table. But she never said it was hers. And I said, oh, well, who's this? And nobody never said nothing. And next thing I know, I'm swiping it off the table. And now they all looking at me like, they like getting ready to like want to jump on me and just kill me.
You just
but none of them never stepped. I said, who's this? Nobody said nothing. So I just... Next time I'm wiping it on the floor. Nobody's ready. Like, I guess it's the janitor's now.
Man, they're like, man, the black guy just killed the party.
Yeah, that's what they said. One time I did that, they was gonna call the cops on me. I'm gonna call the cops. And Lindsay jumped up, no. That means, because I was tired at night. I said, yo, let's go. She said, I'm going a little while. Next thing I know, it was a lot of power on the table, and I took the whole table and tipped it over.
Now, how sexually active was she? Obviously, she was, she just got out of jail yesterday. She's talking about,
bisexual, so she always had that Samantha Ronson bitch hanging around.
Lee T. Weaver on the phone. He was a bodyguard for Lindsay Lohan for a long time, Wesley Snipes, Mel Gibson. So far, Mel Gibson checks out okay in his book, but tell us about, because she's, hot and... Went both
she
ways.
She was pretty. She was nice and all that. She, like I said, she was hot. She did. One thing used to confuse me when I first hooked up with her. There was like two or three gay guys with her, and every now and then a couple of pretty girls with her. And I used to always say, yeah, why are these gay guys with her? How come it can't be a bunch of pretty girls? And the gay guys used to always say, oh, Lindsay, thank you for bringing that big old chocolate Hershey bar with you. And I turned around and said, chocolate Hershey bar? Who are you calling a Hershey bar? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you was for us. I said, hey, let's get this straight now. Ain't nothing like that.
So I mean, like,
but I'm saying, call me a big black Hershey bar. I said, you crazy?
No, how about
almost broke his neck. I had to correct him within 10 seconds.
Now, did you see her sexually with more guys or more girls?
Well, with her, it was always girls with us. Always girls with us. I mean, never seen no guys with us late in the morning. At the end of the night, I said, all right, you're right, punk. It was always a girl. And I didn't know what was happening. And then I always say, like, oh, okay. And I never questioned nobody. As long as they gave me a check, I didn't care if it was with an outfit. Just pay me.
Now, how much was Lindsay paying you when you were working for Lindsay? How much was she paying?
I can't really talk about that. You know what I mean? But I got paid in some nights. Some weeks, I used to get paid, like, every Friday. And some Fridays, the check was held up. And that's when I didn't show up. If it's held up, I ain't showing up.
Why? Now, why would she hold the check up?
Because sometimes her money ran out.
Oh, she'd throw down so hard that her money would run out sometimes.
Exactly. Wow. And management will call up and say, hey, you know, our money's kind of short. I said, ain't no millionaire money short. You have to pay me some way.
No.
I mean, especially when I see girls, when they partying all through the night, I said, she got money to party. She got money to pay me.
Now, how did it go? What ended up going awry? How did it end up going bad with Lindsay? How did it leave? How did you guys leave off?
Well, what kind of happened was I got kind of burnt out because when I used to be with her, I used to be with her all day, all night, and all morning. And, you know, you get kind of burnt out doing that after a while because the only reason why I was with her that time like that because I used to feel, like I said, I felt sorry for her. I used to leave her and say, I'm going home. I'm up too long. As soon as I get home, she'll call me and get the crying. I don't have no ride home. Please come get me. I said, no, I'm not coming. And then as soon as you get the crying, I feel sorry for her. And I go get her, you know what I mean, wherever she's at. And I put her in the car. She'd be crying. That means she's coming down from whatever she had. And I'm angry now. I said, look, get your ass. Get in the bed. Whatever, you know.
Now, did she ever put the money? I mean, did she ever, like, you know, try to pay you with a little ass action? Like, you know, did she ever try to give you a little something-something?
Nah, she, you know what I mean, I probably would have broke her in half. She was too small for me. I mean, I would have laid on her. The judge would looked at me, why are you raping her? I said, rape her? I was just having sex. I didn't mean to break her body.
No, did you ever see her with any, brothers? Was she ever with any black guys?
That's what kind of shocked me, too. I never seen her with a brother. If I seen her with a brother, it was just like a shake hand, and that was it.
You think
just mostly with this white girl. I never seen her with a sister either.
Never with a sister? No, it's only a wife.
Because a sister would have cried.
Bob.
That's probably why she developed no sister. Just would have turned her ass out.
Is she more of a mess? Talking about Lindsay Lohan, this is her former bodyguard, Lee T. Weaver. By the way, you can go to leeTweaver.com. Is she more of a mess than people think? I mean, you know, obviously we...
She's the type of girl like this. I always thought Sydney, what's that, the girl that made that song, Sydney Lauper, Girls Just Want to Have Fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's Lindsay's title song, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I mean, or Party All the Time. One of that song by Eddie Murphy.
I
just wanna party all the time. That's her song.
I think that Eric Clapton did a song about her called Cocaine.
Oh, well, whatever. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. You know, like I said.
I've
never seen her do it, but it was always around.
Right. I mean, you know, it was always around. The signs were there. I mean, you know, and you were always asked to hold, you know, you won't say it, but hold certain stuff and see certain stuff, and you did and saw all that. And that's the problem that you had in itself with her, did you not?
That's the problem. You know, I mean, we started getting arguments. I said, I'm not here to hold nothing. I'm not holding nothing, and don't pull nothing out in front of me. You pull it out, I'm going home. And, you know, how and when she had certain, you know, I used to just accidentally find, before I get in the car, I open the glove compartment, fill up under the seats. I search the car before I get comfortable in there. If I find something, one time I found something that was like a whole lot of stuff. I opened it up, and I just poured it under the ground, and it was three people in the car. They looked at me like, this guy got to be crazy.
throwing all that nice chotch on the ground. Go ahead, Spice.
Now, when it comes to the drugs, I know you said that the only one that could really match Lindsay Lohan and her drug use was Nicole Richie, and you used to see her Nicole Richie like getting crazy too, right?
She used to get kind of like, but Nicole, I guess, you know what I mean? You never see her out there in the streets and acting like, well, I guess she did in the streets. She was driving on the freeway the wrong way.
Yeah, that's on the streets.
Yeah. Once she did that, she woke up. I mean, Nicole's been going straight ever since that happened, you know what I mean? Because when you're going up the wrong way on the freeway, that will wake your ass.
Yeah, but prior
like,
to
whoa,
that.
Whoa, what's the tractor trailer driving at me for? Oops, wrong way.
Yeah, but prior to that, I mean, you know, she used to be all drugged out and stuff like that, but they would never snort in front of you. So what happened? They ended up, like, carrying a mirror to the bathroom or something?
Did I do what?
Did they end up carrying a mirror to the bathroom to snort their blow behind your back?
Well, you know, sometimes if things was there, she would say, hey, oh, damn it, Lee, I forgot, left this in the car. And that was their time, and I'll go get something from the car. And I would love sometime to leave and give me a chance to disappear for a while. Because, and then I said, all right, I'll be back in about 10 to 15 minutes. Like an hour. Because I know once she's in a certain place, she's safe.
Right.
Because she'd be around a certain girl. Nothing won't happen to her. Only thing probably happens is she get her
Bob.
And that's it.
And so. Now,
I'm sorry about that.
No, that's fine, man. That's fine for the satellite show. So now what you're saying that Nicole was obviously liked girls as well.
I don't know who was doing it.
Oh, wow. But somebody.
I came up and it was all sweaty. I'm like, hey, it felt like a sauna up in here.
Now,
you know?
Now let's talk about Wesley. Wesley, man, that guy, he's going to prison for 3 years, lost it on appeal.
I did maybe 3 years with Wesley. I worked with Wesley 3 years.
Right.
I used to always talk to Wesley about certain things when it came to that money because I learned a lot of things about money when I was working with Eddie. And Eddie, Wesley was. He used to always worry about the housekeepers taking his money. Like, he'll leave, like, maybe $10, $20 of bills, you know, laying around, and the housekeeper will clean his house and maybe keep the money, you know, like that little change.
So he was worried about that. He was worried about the little stuff. He should have been worried about the accountant and the lawyer, you know, taking it all.
Exactly. I used to say, Wesley, don't worry about the housekeeper taking change off your dresser. You got to worry about the people that's counting your millions. Worry about them. He's, oh, man, yeah, they ain't gonna rip me off. They seen the movie Blade. He's always worried about, he's the Mexican. They don't understand my movie. They can barely speak English. So that's why he wasn't really worried about them. Because he used to always hire people that couldn't speak English or whatever, but they clean a house damn good. I mean, But I saw, he said, man, don't worry about them taking change. That's just a little bonus for them, but they clean it.
Oh, wow.
Out of your house. I mean, but like I said, worry about the people that's counting your millions. He never worried. He said, no, they ain't going to rip me off. And now, I see him every now and then. He's always said, he walked to me with his head down and said, Lee.
He lost it all, man. I mean, he's going to prison for 3 years. Isn't that bad? Man, that's horrible.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. And Wesley stepped on a lot of toes out here too.
Now, like, you know, what did Wesley? You may know some stuff that we don't know. I mean, what kind of toes did Wesley step on?
Oh, and you see, some people step on toes. Wesley used to stomp on toes.
Really?
Like, yeah, I said, damn, Wesley. Now, why he do that? He's one of those people used to say Hollywood needed him. I said, man, Hollywood don't need you. Hollywood was here before you was here. I saw his, yo, because that's the way he was. You know what I mean? He was a Blade. He was a tough guy. He used to walk through Hollywood, just, you know what I mean, just kicking, whooping ass. You know what I mean? That's what he was. He was serious. He was a fighter. I'm talking about he was good until he met Lee Weaver. I mean, because me and him had a fight down. We had a fight almost to the death. Well,
he's gonna have to be a fighter to fight off all the brothers in jail that are gonna try to get some of that ass.
Oh, they They're gonna try. You know what I mean? Because that's their thing. They're especially gonna try him because he's this badass.
Right.
And everybody in jail, they always want to try a badass just to get the reputation.
Exactly. Anyway, Lee T. Weaver, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to LeeTWeaver.com. Lee has bodyguarded the likes of Pam Anderson, Alyssa Milano, Cindy Crawford, Eddie Murphy. Did some stuff with Michael Jackson, Wesley Snipes, Lindsay Lohan, Mel Gibson. Spice, I got to talk to this guy for hours.
I bet you he's got a ton more stories. Think about it.
Probably got a million and one stories. That's all. This is a million and one. Kim Basinger, Alex Baldwin.
We got to do this.
The list goes on.
Hey, Lee, we're going to have to do this monthly. Do it once a month and, a Lee T. Weaver story or something like that.
Call me anytime. My love goes out to you guys.
All right, my man. Hey, listen, LeeTWeaver.com, or you can go to any other bookstores. Tell us the name of the book again, Lee T.
It's called Memoirs of a Celebrity Bodyguard. It's not out there to diss nobody. I'm just telling my story in Hollywood while I was out here. That's it. Telling my story because it's just like reality. Everybody want to know what happens on the other side. It ain't all glamour and glory as you think it is.
God, I hope he does the auto book.
It's pull in and knock it in.
Anyway,
it's some good times, too.
Lee, I'll be calling you here in a couple weeks, man. I want another couple stories from you, if possible, my friend.
You're going to have to at least stay on the phone with me a year to hear these stories.
Can't wait, my friend. Lee T., let me put you on hold real fast so Spice can get your information.
I got him.
I put him on hold.
Okay.
Wow.
A year.
Guy's unbelievable.
Okay, it's great.